भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 25 चैप्टर एंटाइटल प्रहलाद ब्रेस्ट अमंगस्ट एक्सॉल्टेड डिवोटीज। प्रसाद सुमुखम प्रसाद सुमुखम दृष्ट्वा ब्रह्मा नरहरिं हरि स्तुत्वा वाग्भिः पवित्राभिः प्राह देवादिभिर्वृता प्रसाद रूपात्। Translation: Lord Brahma, surrounded by the other demigods, was bright-faced because the Lord was pleased. Thus he offered prayers to the Lord with transcendental words. No purport to this verse. We go to the next verse. Text number 26. Shri Brahma uvacha deva deva kila adhyaksha bhuta bhavana purvacha दृष्ट्या ते निहत पापो लोक संतापनो सुरः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिराम स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सेड, ओ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल लॉर्ड्स, प्रोप्राइटर ऑफ द एंटायर यूनिवर्स, ओ बेनेडिक्टर ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज, ओ ओरिजिनल पर्सन आदि पुरुष, because of our good fortune you have now killed this sinful demon who was giving trouble to the entire universe. Purport: the word purvaja is described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 text number 8, aham sarvasya prabaho mata sarvam pravartate. All the demigods including Lord Brahma are manifested from the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, the original person, the cause of all causes, is Govinda, the Adi Purusham. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of His Grace Jagaratma Prabhu. And all my God brothers, I'm not a regular speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's once in 2 months or 3 months I sit there and speak. So this particular chapter, Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees, we saw how Prahlad pleased the Lord with wonderful prayers and the Lord gave him his benedictions. And is about to leave now. And in this particular verse, Brahma and all the demigods are offering him their prayers. And this particular verse, Brahmaji, he glorifies Lord Narsingdev as the supreme lord of the universe, the benedictor of all living entities. And he's saying that it's because of a good fortune that you have come here and killed this demon, Hiranyakashipu. Actually, if you see, in this world in which we live, various people interpret fortune in various ways. Here, Brahmaji considers himself as his good fortune to first have the darshan of Lord Narsingdev, kill Hiranyakashipu and give benedictions, that he considers his good fortune. But we see how perverted it is in this material world, that all of us consider fortune in different ways. If you ask a child, you know, for the child fortune is something different. Child going to school, maybe the fortune may be like, you know, getting good grades in his exams, or someone who is a dull person getting good rank. I am fortunate to get a first class. For someone else, it may be like, you know, getting nominated for a particular project or getting some medal in a sports event, probably. So the person, the child may consider himself very fortunate to get those. But when a person grows up, the definition of his fortune is different. Maybe an adult who passes out of college, if he gets a good job in a multinational company, he considers himself very fortunate. He says, I'm very fortunate to get a good job. Why? Good job means good money and security, basically. Or probably somebody who's got a good job, his fortune may be like when his boss tells him that you have been promoted and now you have become the vice president of this company. And he feels, you know, lottery lag gayi. You know, it's like, says that we consider himself very fortunate. Or probably if he gets a good wife, vice versa, for a lady getting a good husband, so considers himself or herself very fortunate. And when you grow up, you become older and the fortune changes. For an old man, maybe his fortune, maybe if he has a good health, that he doesn't fall sick and go to hospital very regularly or go and visit a doctor for his problems. So he considers himself very fortunate. Or maybe his children are all settled down, no anxieties. Or he has enough bank balance where he doesn't have to worry about his future or be dependent on someone else. So he considers himself to be very fortunate. So ultimately we see in this world, when we talk about fortune, we are talking about someone being lucky or someone getting some wealth or some security. That is considered fortune. But Srila Prabhupada, in various places, he says, ultimately, what is the use of all this? Of course, wealth, everything is needed, but ultimately, that's not the thing which one may say it's fortune. Srila Prabhupada said that ultimately, everything has its own end. At the time of death, at least everything is gone. Whatever you have accumulated in this world, whether your name or your fame, prestige, everything you have to leave at the time of death. You cannot carry on to your next life. So, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita mentions, Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga dukkha yunai evate adhyanta vanta kaunte na teshu ramate buddha. That means, in this world, as soon as you are in contact with this material world, there is going to be a beginning and there is going to be end. Adhyanta vanta kaunte na teshu ramate buddha. Wise one understands, never gets entangled into this. So real fortune, is it? Lord Rishabhdev, he tells his sons also, Nahyam deho dhya braja niloke kastan kaman arhate vidbhujambi. Tapo divyam putrakayena satyam shudyet yasmat brahma saukyam tvanantam. He says, now that you have got this human form of life, don't waste your life working like dogs and hogs. Because this sense gets available even to them. But now that Shuddhya Dhyasmat Brahma Saukyam, now that you just try to attain the Supreme. So the real fortune, Srila Prabhupada at one place he mentions, is when one gets connected to Krishna. Or when one establishes his relationship with Krishna, then that is one's real fortune. If one has no connection with Krishna, then whatever he may have, whatever he may accumulate, it is not fortune. But one is considered himself or herself fortunate when one establishes his relationship with Krishna. And what does it mean being related to Krishna? Relationship with Krishna means anything connected to Krishna. Maybe Krishna's holy name, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's dham, anything connected to Krishna is supposed to be very fortunate, according to Srila Prabhupada. we see how in the devotee's life, how the fortune takes place. Krishna's name, actually. Even one comes in contact with Krishna's name, is a fortunate person. In the sixth canto, it's mentioned, Shukdev Goswami says, Sanketyam parihasyam va stopanam helanam eva va. That even somebody jokingly also talks about or utters the name of Krishna. Or unknowingly, not knowing the potency of the name. And just, you know, maybe joking way or maybe wanting to tease someone, he may get the fortune of getting connected to Krishna. We have one devotee who was working in a company and he was just seeing one, you know, Vaishnava wearing a tilak and, you know, chanting. So this person would always tease him with Hare Krishna. Or whenever he comes, he would just, you know, tease him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Somehow in different ways. Little realizing that after some time, he himself also will become a devotee. And then joins the temple. And now this person is going all over this state speaking about the glories of the holy name. And he's eager. He calls up people, says, when should I come and conduct seminars for holy name? I want to conduct seminar. How to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He did not realize when he was making fun of the devotee that he would be one day doing this job and giving this to someone else. That's his fortune. That he came in contact with Krishna's name and then his life changed. Krishna's dham. Now who can imagine? Srila Prabhupada said, my temples are non-different from the dham. We have one devotee amongst us. He may be sitting somewhere in this audience. He was just passing by here in this lane, not intending to come to the temple. He wanted to meet some of his friends. And unfortunately, on that particular evening, his friends did not turn up. So he was standing just outside this temple and he was waiting for his friends. Because that time there was Archie's or some other place over here. So they had this meeting point here. And he said, let's, you know, meet here. So he was waiting for his friends. Unfortunately, his friends did not come. And that day evening, there was this Bhagavad Gita course going on. So he saw many people here. So he said, let me just see. This is a nice temple. So let me see what is there. So he entered into the temple complex. He just came and he just saw the temple. He just met devotees. And then now he's initiated and he's serving. He's doing deity worship. He's doing wonderful services. Initiated devotee since last 10 years. He did not realize that probably he'll be one amongst the devotees here. He just came, not with the intention of just coming to a temple. He was waiting for his friends, Krishna's arrangement. And that was his fortune. That was his fortune. Krishna's devotees, you know, like there was one devotee who did not have any intention of coming to the temple or maybe associating with the devotees. Some or the other, he was made a life member of a particular association. Somehow he said, maybe let me just become a life member because I don't want to see this particular person's face because all the time he was after him, become a life member, become a life member, become a life member. Life member of a particular association, not the this association, but some other association, the local association. And he never went to any of the meetings or any of the programs of this organized by this association. But one fine day, there was one letter which has come that there is a course, discourse on who is God and who am I. And he just thought, let me just go and see what is about. And he goes there and this particular person is getting interested and then it was announced that there will be a 6-day Bhagavad Gita course in the local area. Not in the temple, in the local area, in the evening particularly so that everyone can take part in it. Especially at night from 9 to 11.
so suiting to a particular audience, and then you go there and you find that you meet a devotee, and the devotee introduces you, gives you lot of love, encouragement, and then without you realizing, that person becomes the devotee. They had no interest at all, that person. After the course, probably he did not want to even come to the temple. But this person was so nice and loving that slowly, just, trying to say, no, actually, you come to the temple, they're nice devotees, all are Indians. Like that, before you realize, you already started chanting. And that became the good fortune of that particular devotee. Krishna's books, there are so many book distribution nectars which you have. Somebody takes a book and then literally realizes that he ultimately becomes a devotee. Book distribution nectar. Everyone have their own realizations, how a person takes a book and then becomes a devotee. Krishna's paraphernalia. I could not imagine that something like this can also make someone become serious. This is my personal experience. About 2 months back, we wanted to take the children to Juhu Beach. And we were deciding that where should we have prasad. So then we decided, let's go and have prasad at Juhu Mandir. And since I knew some devotees there, I just called up the devotee, the temple commander. He said, why don't you come? Yes. I said, but it will be late, around 8:39. Is it okay? He said, no problem. We'll keep prasadam for family. How many of you are there? I said, about 8-9 of us. Fine. So we reached by around 9 o'clock over there. And we had nice dinner prasad. And he just offered me the garland of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, this is Maha. This is Radha Rasbiharis and Prabhupada's Maha. Keep this with you. So I just smelled the garland and kept with me. And somehow or the other, there was another devotee's girl, daughter, who wanted this garland. So she took this garland with her. She said, I want this garland. I said, please take. No problem. In the meanwhile, this particular girl's father is cultivating someone else at his place. And that particular boy's grandmother was about to leave her body. So, in the meanwhile, he instructed him that you should play Prabhupada's tapes and constantly chant Hare Krishna in her ears. And he was doing it regularly. And the garland which was given to the daughter was ultimately taken by his father, and the father took it and placed it in the body of the grandmother of that boy, and the mother left the body. That means Prabhupada arranged that this garland goes from here all the way to that mother's body, grandmother's dead body. And he got this supreme fortune. And now this boy becomes, he got so much convinced of this particular episode that now he comes for a regular their circular satsang, the program which he conducts, and he's also started chanting the rounds. That's his fortune. And what you can imagine, the grandmother's fortune also. She's been just hearing the holy names and she's getting the garland of Srila Prabhupada all the way from Juhu till Chembur. So it goes in a matter of 45 minutes. And so many people are involved into it. But ultimately it reached the person whom it was meant for. So this is the fortune of a devotee. Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Pich. That, living entities are, moving around in this universe. Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, some fortunate soul, Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Bich. That some fortunate soul gets connected to Krishna its devotees, and Bhakti Lata Beach gets seed of devotion service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So, said that the real fortune is when we get an opportunity to serve the Lord and His devotees under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is a real fortune of ours. That when we come in the association devotees and then we engage in some service, positive service, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then a person should consider himself to be having real fortune or obtaining his real fortune. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I was listening to his tape, he made one statement which struck me very nice. Of course, you hear many times the same thing, but he was narrating one incident, and then at the end of the narration, he just made one thing. He said, "You can express your love to the Lord through service." He says, "Only by service you can express your love. Nowhere else, no other way." And that struck me so much. I said, that is what we are all supposed to do. That we engage in our service, positive devotional service. Prabhupada also, in his various places, when he talks about translating bhakti, he says bhakti is devotional service actually. Prahlad Maharaj's fortune, as you all know, that what was his fortune? His fortune was that he got to hear from his spiritual master Narad Muni, right from the time when he was in the womb. And he came out, he started, you know, performing his devotional activities. Ultimately, he got the darshan of the Lord. But that was not his. He considered himself fortunate for serving, for getting an opportunity to serve. Same thing with so many exalted personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They consider their real fortune for getting an opportunity to serve. That's their real fortune. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, we find so many instances, so many places where a devotee is ready to relinquish all his material opulences for getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He was the only unconquerable king in the Muslim regime. But this person, because he wanted a personal association of Lord Chaitanya, he was ready to relinquish his post as a king also. He was ready to become a beggar just to get an association of Lord Chaitanya, just to get his mercy. That he considered himself, or that he considered his fortune. Rup Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati. Very difficult for someone to give up material opulence, wealth. Prabhupada many times mentioned about C.R. Das. We are hearing the morning, the tape. He said he was getting 15,000 rupees a month during that time. British rule. And then suddenly he has to give up everything, and he used to get only 500 rupees every month. Very difficult for him. He left his body. But Rup Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they could relinquish. You know, what money they would get is not paper notes. It's gold coins, pure gold coins. He just left everything and just went to Vrindavan just to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We also know the very illustrious story of Gopinath Patanaika. Everyone knows the story. On a Sunday feast, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj very elaborately explained the whole pastime. Gopinath Patanaika, he was working for the king, for Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And somehow that he misappropriated funds. And then the long story, how he had to give back the money which he owed to the government. And he thought, let me trade my horses. But somehow or the king's son, the prince, he quoted a low price for this. And then ultimately, you know, there was some discussion which irritated the prince. And the prince later on, ordered that he should be thrown on the changa. That means he should be thrown for death. But a long story, ultimately he was out of it. When Maharaj Pratap Rudra knew what he was up to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to hear all these things. People came and complained. He says, you know, please do something. He's been put on a changa. Chaitanya said, don't approach me for all these things. Do you expect me to go and approach the king for all these things? He says, if you again approach me, I'll go from this place. When Maharaj Pratapruta hears this, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to leave this place, and he was not aware of anything what's happening, he immediately releases, orders him to be released from the place, from the Changa. Not only that, Gopinath Patanayaka's salary is doubled, and he's been given a post of a governor. Ultimately, he's released. But that time his brother, Vaninath Rai, was also being arrested. He was put into prison. Chaitanya asked, what was he doing? He says he was constantly chanting the holy names on his fingers. So after he was released, all of these five brothers, they came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that time Gopinath Patanayaka told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, my salary is doubled. I've been relieved from all this response, my debts. But he says, my dear Lord, this is not your mercy. The mercy, real mercy, what you have given is to my brother, Vaninath Rai. He says, this is the mercy which I want. Because whatever material opulence I have is all going to go away. And Prabhupada gives a nice purport. He says, anyone who gets this material opulence flickering, it may go anytime from your hands. So what is the use of this? So Vaninath Rai, Gopinath Patanayaka, he says that, please give me that mercy. Give me the taste for chanting your holy names. That is the mercy I need. I don't want anything else. So we hear so many such stories where, you know, a person considers himself his fortune when he gets an association with Lord's devotees, the holy names. Things. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I was hearing one tape of his yesterday, very nice tape. And the title of that tape was Don't Hanker for Personal Attention, where he's emphasizing on service to the Vaishnavas. So he says, don't become proud of being a devotee. You know, don't become proud of being a devotee. He says, consider yourself fortunate for having received the mercy of the Lord. And I'll just read out some things what he would mention here. He said, Prabhupada's disciples, he said, they renounced all material opulences just to serve Srila Prabhupada without getting any personal attention. They were only interested in serving Srila Prabhupada. They never wanted anything. And he says, many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they renounced all material opulences. He says, we never had any qualification except that his causeless mercy. And he says, that was our fortune. He says, understand that we are not the enjoyers of the service, but we are simply happy to serve. And we should be satisfied with whatever we are given. And we should be satisfied with the service. He says, we were doing it for Prabhupada. It did not matter where we are, in what situation we are. We just wanted to serve. And wherever Krishna puts us, that's where we would like to serve. He says, we were just servants. And he said, why should we want attention? We really want service. And then he mentions a very nice point. He says, this is simplicity. He says, what is simplicity? He says, simplicity is that virtue of a devotee where we simply want to serve. He says, that virtue of a devotee where he simply wants to serve, that is his simplicity. Trying to please Guru, Vaishnavas and Krishna. He says, Krishna can give us unlimited pleasure through the parampara, or he may not give. It doesn't matter. What matters is our sincerity and our enthusiasm to serve. He says, really who we are, you know, and what can we have, or what right do we have to serve Krishna? What qualification do we have to serve Krishna? He says, in the spiritual world, the gopis, the manjaris, they are trying various ways and means to please Krishna. And still they are thinking they are not qualified to serve Krishna in a very nice way. He says, what are we? We have this material body with the senses, contaminated senses. He says, what can we serve? How can you serve? He says, but only thing what we have is with whatever little sincerity we have, try to serve wholeheartedly. He says, and when we see that the Vaishnavas are responding to our efforts to serve, then we can feel that Srila Prabhupada is pleased. He says, when the Vaishnavas respond to our efforts to serve, we can feel that Srila Prabhupada is pleased. And that is the only virtue that you aspire to some other see that we serve, and in this way we please Prabhupada. And he says, by helping Srila Prabhupada's mission, what happens? We receive the blessings of all the Goswamis. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, ultimately Krishna. And we receive the blessings of all, and that is the greatest joy. So this is actually our fortune, that when we get an opportunity to get to serve the Vaishnavas, and we do it willingly, without any grudge, we do it very enthusiastically, then we should know that we are getting the real fortune, we are obtaining the real fortune. And here it's mentioned that when the Vaishnavas respond to our efforts to serve, we can feel that Prabhupada is pleased. There's a very nice quote in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very striking, where Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is thinking, what is the mentality of what Krishna is thinking when a devotee takes to this process? Because a devotee, when a person comes and takes shelter, it's not that he immediately wants to serve without any motivation, without any, you know, desire. He has some desires. He has a lot of, you know, desires in his heart. So he says, Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishya suka, amrita chhadi vishya mage ehi bada murka. Krishna is saying, ama bhaje mage vishya suka. He is asking for, you know, happiness of this world. Amrita chhadi vishya mage ehi bada murka. He is just trying to just somehow or the other ignore the nectar. He is asking for poison. But this person is mad. And then Krishna is saying, Ami Vigye. He says, but I am not a fool. I am intelligent. Ami Vigye, Yehi Murke, Visha Kene Deba. Why should I give him the poison? Swa Charanamrita Diya, Vishaya Bulaiba. He says, I will give my Charanamrita so that he will forget everything. And then ultimately he will take shelter of my lotus feet. So this is actually the, you know, how Krishna thinks. And that's the fortune. That somehow or the other we are there in the association of devotees and we try to serve, and we know that Krishna's Charanamrita is given to us. Krishna is given his Charanamrita. And ultimately, one fine day we will lose all our taste for this enjoyment of this material world and then go back. Just to conclude, very nice story. Many of you may not be knowing this devotee. He is a person who was a regular visitor to a satsang program at Sion. About a year and a half, he left his body. 2 years back, he was diagnosed to have a cancer of the intestine. He got operated also once. Somehow or the other, it was not successful. And ultimately, he was told by the doctors that you have, don't do anything else. You have a few more months to live and that's all. Now this person, he is not a very famous personality. But he would regularly come for a satsang program. Every Tuesday he will be there at 7:30 sharp. He had his particular chair where he would sit to hear. He would regularly hear. And one thing he had, one quality. That whoever the speaker is, he would wait for that speaker after the class is over. He would go home, get his car. He comes at around 10 o'clock. And most of the time it will be His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu. And as usual, many people would be speaking to him and he would just go on speaking to the devotees, and it will be around 10:30, 10:45, sometimes 11 o'clock. And we would be just patiently waiting for him. Just patiently wait outside, standing by the side of the car. And sometimes we would be apologetic. He said, Prabhu, he will come now. He said, no, don't worry, I'm waiting. Now his desire was only to serve that particular Vaishnava. Just drive him all the way to the temple and come back home. Sometimes it will be 11:30, 12, and drive all alone back. But that was his service, unmotivated, uninterrupted. He never missed a single Tuesday, unless until he had to, he was not there in the town. Otherwise, it was his service. And it's not that somebody told him that he should do it. Just wanted to do that service. And he would regularly do this service. Now, when he was diagnosed to have this cancer, ultimately he could not continue on that service, but he told his son that you should drop. So his son has taken over this parampara. Now his son drops. But this person, when he was in his deathbed, now just imagine, he is not coming to temple at all regularly. His only association is that every Tuesday comes to the program, hears, and goes back. Now, when he was in his deathbed, I realized that he actually had finished reading the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, which I did not know. And he is chanting his rounds, 16 rounds. He was chanting, in fact, more now at that time. And he was expressing so many things. He was telling Radha Gopinath Prabhu that I want to preach. I have a desire to preach. He says, now I cannot preach because he was bedridden. And once some of his friends came to his house and his friend said, you come to this place and we will try to some mystic yogi, siddhis, and maybe you become all right and everything. So he became so angry with them and he said, you fools, just stop all this nonsense, He said, just chant Hare Krishna. That's the only thing which is going to help you. He said, forget about all these things. He was actually very annoyed with them and he was preaching him very forcefully. And he wanted to dance, but somehow they were a very shy person. So what did he do? It seems his wife would say that he would close his door and he would dance in the house. He said, I would dance, but I would feel very shy not to dance. So he would close his house. So his wife would think he's gone mad. Something's wrong with him that he's going to the satsang and he's become mad. So he would say, I like to dance. I want to do this. I want to preach. And just see, on the last day, it seems he told his wife and his children that my desire is that you become devotees. You regularly attend a satsang program. And he said, now you leave aside all my attachments. I don't be attached to me. He says, I want to cut off all my attachments. I want to leave now. I am going back. I am going back to Krishna, he said. And just cut off all my attachments. Don't be attached to me. And he said like this. And at around 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, he just, before he left his body, he said, Hare Krishna, and he left his body. So now this person is not known to anyone of us. Just because we are in that vicinity and we know him, But what is his fortune? That somehow or other he has come, he's associating with the devotees, chanting the names. But one thing what was really going on was his service. He was serving a Vaishnava. He was serving without any motives, pleasingly, willingly, joyfully, and ultimately he received that gift. That when the time came for him to leave the body, he got the strength to somehow sustain a very painful experience for him. Somehow he would always wait for devotees to come. There was satsang. He would say, just chant, just do some kirtan, and he would be very happy. He said that the greatest moment for him was that when devotees would come in the evenings and meet him. So regularly somebody would be reading him Srimad Bhagavatam, somebody would be just chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and he left his body. I was surprised. I said, he's telling his wife and children that I want to leave all my attachments now, How is it possible? It's not possible otherwise. Just that by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and that's his fortune. So by just going through all this, we know that, our real fortune is somehow that we are in this association of devotees. How we have come, each one knows for himself how they have come. No one had any desire to come. Nobody wanted to come willingly. But somehow or other we have come. That's why Bansi's Holiness Radhana Maharaj said that anyone who comes to this temple here is a very special person. And he says, that's why we have the guest reception department. We have a department here. that anyone who comes here is very important. There's a fortune that the person has come and that person is very special. Well, who knows, that person later on becomes a devotee and does wonderful services. We have so many examples. You can contact Sankirtan Prabhu and other devotees who are here. And so many people are there. Sankirtan Prabhu was mentioning that so many people are now coming in the temple and taking part in so many other activities. And that's a fortune. That's our real fortune. Because when you get this association, we just somehow or the other, you know, without knowing that we start dancing. Nobody liked to dance. At least I did not like to dance beginning. But somehow the, you know, everyone dances, chants, associates devotees, and just goes on. So we only pray and hope that we don't lose this wonderful opportunity which we have. If you lose this, then we are the most unfortunate people. You know, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, once he was mentioning that when you see a person in the outside world, don't become proud that you are a devotee. We sometimes very casually we mention, you know, karmi. Who knows, that person, he comes in contact with devotee, he becomes a devotee much more exalted than you. He says, those karmis. We were also once upon a time like that. He says, consider yourself fortunate that you have got this. You know, so the difference between you and them is that you are fortunate to get this. That person is not fortunate. That's a different thing. So to make him fortunate, you have to go and give him. You have to give him, as during this time, give him books, give him the holy name, in any way. You do not know who becomes. Like I still remember this 17 years back when I was coming from Kurukshetra, and one person from the railways, he just saw some devotees, and he asked, "Kya kar rahe ho? What are you doing?" He said, "We are chanting with this." He says, "You know, which temple you go?" So we just told him that we are going to this temple, and casually we just mentioned to him. Casually, it's not that like, you know, "Acha, come on, now nice person to preach to and sit." It was not planned also. It's just casually we just mentioned. We just forgot about the whole thing. And this person, since last 17 years, he's coming regularly to temple. He's not initiated, but he's chanting. He's coming for almost most of the programs. He's doing a major service for a Barsana, during the Barsana eye camp. And he's a railway man. And helps in, you know, helps the devotees in getting some tickets or all these things. So he's still continuing his service. So who knows, you know, anyone comes in contact with some devotees, books, and becomes fortunate. So let us pray that we don't leave this wonderful association of Vaishnavas and consider ourselves fortunate to have received this wonderful blessing, and pray to the Lord that let us not leave this association till we leave our body. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.